citizens of Hillbrow have started stoning the police along with SANDF.
As we are speaking, there are bullets going off down the road.
The Friday morning of the 27th of March 2020 is somber and quiet as South Africans wake up to the news that South Africa has had its very first coronavirus-related death. It's also the first official day of lockdown for the country. But the previous Thursday evening did not see the country go peacefully into its mandated state of lockdown. Military and police convoys were in for a fight as they entered Johannesburg's most densely populated urban communities. In this podcast series, we will follow Sunday Times reporter Alex Patrick and senior reporter Graham Hoskin as they track, record, and reflect on the real events and people that make up South Africa's biggest COVID-19 news stories. For Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown, a production of Multimedia Live, I am Zamalu Thuli. It's going to be a long night for Alex and Graham. It's the first night of the national lockdown, and they are on the streets of Johannesburg, tracking the movements of South Africa's lockdown enforcers.
Found the security in the army, police, metro, at Mary Fitzgerald Square.
It's 20 minutes before the national lockdown begins. Heavily armed soldiers along with police, traffic and metro police are gathered here in the square. They are about to be briefed in their final deployment orders, which will see them going into Hillbrow and the surrounding townships of Alexandra and nearby areas. There are at least 300 to 400 heavily armed soldiers here.
Police are busy trying to find their place to stand. We've got JMPD, police, army. I have no idea what those other guys are. Nobody seems to know what's going on.
But the people of Hillbrow and Alex, like a lot of South Africans, were struck by morbid curiosity and wanted to get in a sneak peek of the enforcers, not to mention a last party. Despite the lockdown having commenced, the streets of Hillbrow and Alex were still very much alive.
Details the role of the army.
It's 12 o'clock and we're following a convoy into Hillbrow. You can kind of smell the alcohol in the air and things are getting a little bit busier. But it doesn't look like anybody's keeping any kind of social distancing here.
These guys are drunk now.
Yeah, we want them drunk.
From today, there's no alcohol sold until this time to that time. Because they told them that they're not going to buy alcohol, so they are drinking for that 21 days. You can't drink for 21 days for a day.
Yeah.
Just imagine, guy, you're drinking for today the whole day.
Yeah.
Just to recover that 21 days.
Yeah.
You see, it's impossible. When it reaches 12 o'clock, I'm going to go outside. I want to see who's going there, who's following the lockdown.
Yeah.
Hey.
So fresh, you think there's no military coming here?
Huh? I'm waiting for that.
Even yourself, waiting for that.
Why are you waiting for that?
No, I want to see. Prove that.
You
want to
see that lockdown?
I want to prove that. Do you know how many people are there?
Yeah, lots. Yeah.
They are still waiting for the lockdown. They want to prove that.
And while this is going on, there's actually rats eating each other in the background. Fucking hell.
But the South African National Defence Force seemed far less amused as they pulled over cars, shut shebeens, and chased late night partygoers into residences.
They're selling alcohol. Hey, where's the tea?
Here in Yeovil, in a spaza shop.
You should be here for the night. You were supposed to be home. Hey, was I talking to you? I was talking to this man. You get the key and come here before I break down this door. And you, where do you stay? You stay here. How many people are staying here? Open this gate!
Yeah.
No, it's the wrong way around. Yeah, the other way. There we go. Prachtig.
If they go into the lab, they're hiding stuff behind the
van. But I think some foreigners who were staying in the spaza shop are now being pretty much strip searched. They found alcohol in a packet and claim that it is being sold. I'm not sure if it's personal stash or not.
I'm okay. Were you staying in here?
Yeah, this is where we stay. We don't have a place.
Where are you from, sir?
I'm a Nigerian.
Do you know what's happening here with the lockdown?
That's why we don't have a place, so we normally stay here.
Yeah. And they're saying that you guys were selling alcohol.
It's the personal alcohol we are drinking.
And how long have you been staying here for?
I've been here for a year.
And living here, hey?
Yeah.
And what do you do for a living? What do you do for money?
No, we don't do anything.
Huh?
We just hustle on the streets.
Police are busy searching him out of his vehicle as he was trying to speed off when they stopped him on the corner of a street in Hillbrow just moments after the start of the national lockdown. The guy has been apologizing, saying that he should have been home earlier, but police are not buying it. They're searching his car thoroughly, looking for weapons, drugs, and any other contraband which has been prohibited under the national lockdown.
So
ma'am, what's going to happen now? Are you going to, given that nobody's allowed out in the streets, is he going to be arrested or is he going to be let off on a first warning? What's the procedures? On the first warning. Okay.
He's like, go. Again, fast, now.
The evening came to a head when community members threw stones and various other objects at the JMPD vehicles. While the interchange was brief, it was also very tense for our reporters.
And we're on the run. Somebody threw a stone at the police car.
Citizens of Hillbrow have started stoning the police along with SANDF. Police are now cordoning off a block of flats as residents start whistling to each other, warning them of the approaching authorities.
Alex and Graham assure us that no one was hurt during the exchange, but several arrests were made in Hillbrow on this night. As the city finally began to quieten down, our reporters went home. Just after 2 a.m., Alex summed up her evening for us.
We started our evening in Alexandra Township. The township was notably empty, although there were still people on the streets. There was still a lot of revelry and quite a sharp smell of alcohol in the air and chaos, really. And I think after witnessing Alexandra Township, I think it's going to be very hard to police the area.
It didn't take Alex and Graham long to figure out that population density would become a huge problem for South Africa's lockdown enforcers. In the days that followed, authorities needed to strike a balance between their duty and their humanity in areas where buildings were spilling over with people.
Busy following in a police convoy now into Bromfontein. Police are busy trying to disperse people, get people back inside the buildings, off the street. There's clearly no obeyance to this national lockdown. Not that there could be in areas like this, it's just heavily saturated with people. Overcrowding is like all over the place. Just how the police are going to police this and how the government expects people to obey national lockdown instructions in conditions like this is impossible. People are busy hanging out of windows and buildings, different flat apartments. looking as the cops trying to force their way into a building that was locked by, I presume, the owners as the police came into the street. The guy actually owns a bottle store, and it seems that he's been selling alcohol. He's trying to keep it barricaded. The cops are trying to force it open. It's a bottle store and a fish and chips dealer. I can hear the cops arguing with the guys inside.
Relax, Mamu.
Relax.
We're not fighting with you.
We are allowed to obey the grocery shop.
Sit down, Mamu.
Police are really trying to explain to the one owner. It seems like this bottle store and fish and chips store are on the same premises. So they were after the guy who was selling what we presume is alcohol, we're not sure. The actual owner of the fish and chips store is terrified. He's busy shaking. He's convinced that he's done something wrong. Cops are trying to calm him down. You can hear in the background, the cops, for whatever reason, think it's a joke. I think there has to be a lot more community police interaction to ensure that the community is aware that the police are here to protect them and that those who are legally operating are allowed to legally operate. It's going to be tough for the police. I mean, it's hundreds of people at this building outside that I'm standing next to, busy looking outside of the window, curious onlookers wanting to know exactly what's going on.
It's day 5 in the afternoon. I'm at Alexandra Township, and the news has just broke that there are two members of the community who have tested positive for the coronavirus. People are still out on the streets. Many people are walking. They often say that they are going to the shops or the banks. And for many people, this is their only transport. It's notably quieter here, but there are still people outside, people gathering, people outside their homes. Like they said on the first night of lockdown, it is going to be impossible to keep everybody indoors. But the police are confident that they have everything under control. They say after yesterday, which was day 4, when the army brought back up, they say that they feel that they have everything under control now. But they have admitted that policing the area would be next to impossible.
Are you worried about police? Because I was chatting to some people down there, and as soon as the police car came, they all ran away.
Yeah, that's the shooting.
Oh, is it? I heard they were shooting, hey?
Yeah, they were shooting.
Did you guys see that?
No.
You didn't, but you heard or?
Yeah, I was just
heard that. You heard the gunshots?
Yeah.
Jeez. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I was scared initially.
Is it?
Yeah, you don't feel safe.
You don't feel safe because of the police, eh?
I remember bullet can just pass over.
Yeah.
Get you while you're inside the house. Well, it's brutality now. It's police brutality now. They no longer just. Mm.
Did you hear the sound of the gunshot now?
That wasn't a gunshot. That is a gunshot. As we are speaking, there are bullets going off down the road and shouting.
Police are saturating the area. There's already been running street battles between cops and people, residents from blocks of flats, guys totally violating the national lockdown. Nobody's keeping social distancing. Nobody's keeping indoors. Cops arresting people as they drive past in their cars. Guys, outside of there, there are blocks of flats, thousands of people here, tens and tens of thousands of people. It's just absolutely crazy. People are begging cops not to arrest them, saying that they're going to shops, small supermarkets. Cops are busy picking up kids off the street. It's just, there's no ways you can control an area like this, and there's no ways people living in areas like this have an opportunity to keep apart from each other. They just live on top of each other. It's been 4 hours of absolute craziness on the streets of Yeovil and Hillbrow this afternoon in Johannesburg. Police are busy chasing down people who are not obeying the national lockdown regulations, blocking of streets, searching blocks of flats who they accuse people of hiding in, who have not been obeying the rules of the national lockdown. They've been confiscating liquor, they've been arresting people left, right and centre. I mean, just this afternoon, the past 4 hours, have counted about 50 odd arrests.
It's been a while since I've heard gunshots, and so it was quite surprising. But the people I was talking to outside were not surprised. They knew immediately it was a gunshot. There was one bang, and they said, "Did you hear that? It's a gunshot." And I said, "No, it's not. It's a car." And then I heard bang, bang, and I know that sound. That's a gunshot. And suddenly all these children came racing up the road. I'm trying to figure out why the rubber bullets were so disturbing to me. And I think the reason why it's so disturbing to me is that, I mean, this township it's a huge township, and there are pockets of nefarious elements, but the majority of people there are just honest, hardworking people who just want to go about their day. And many of the people in the road today were the elderly and accompanied by very young school-going children. And I think just seeing the elderly and children screaming and running away just left me with a terrible feeling. And I was just thinking, a lot of those people, I mean, for them, this could have brought back a lot of horrifying memories from the past. And, you know, you just don't expect to be living like that in 2020. But from the police's side, I also understand. I mean, you're far outnumbered by the people you are policing, and you've got to maintain a kind of a standard of discipline, and you've got to take a harsh stand. I get it, but yeah, it's just weird. I mean, you can't believe you can't believe that this is happening, actually.
Activity in Johannesburg has slowed down, but in the city's densely populated urban communities, people are struggling. The police are fighting to keep control in what seems a near impossible situation. The majority of community members that Alex and Graham managed to interview seem to understand that authorities are doing their best to keep the population healthy and safe in what is, without a doubt, a scary situation for everyone. Graham and Alex collected hours of audio in the first week of South Africa's national lockdown. Unfortunately, there is just not enough time to share all of it with you. But luckily for us, our reporters stopped to reflect on the week that they had. 1 week into the national lockdown, and this is what they had to say.
I'm busy preparing for a story for the Sunday Times this weekend, and I must say it's just the information that I've received on how prepared, or in this case, unprepared we are for what's coming to us has really struck home. I mean, we've been talking to experts today in the medical field, virologists, epidemiologists, academics and researchers at WITS, at UKZN, and what they've told me are just absolutely shudder. It's just, you know, I'm sitting here in my office, I'm safe and protected, you know, as protected as can be and as safe as can be. And the realization of the information that I've been given in terms of how many tests need to be done, how many tests can be done. The fact that we're apparently only doing 1,000 tests a day when we should be doing 35,000 tests a day, and what that means and the implications of that, and why we can't do it, and how poor planning has potentially led us into the eye of an insurmountable storm is just, you know, the realization is just absolutely coming home. I mean, you do so many interviews and you just get bombarded with all this information, and at the end of the day you just sit back and you think, wow, have I just heard that? You take cognizance of what you've been told and you just think, bloody hell. I mean, we've been told, or I've been told today, you know, that we're on the trajectory that is on a par with Spain and Italy if we don't do anything now. I mean, it's not that we can afford to do stuff in a few weeks' time. It's like what we have to do now in terms of ramping up the scale of testing. And it's just, it's impossible. I mean, it's like being able to climb Everest with one leg without oxygen and without any of the protective or necessary mountaineering gear. And then you think back of all the people who live in circumstances that are way less fortunate than mine. You know, I can self-isolate, I can quarantine myself, stock up on food, stock up on all the supplies I need, and take the steps that I need to take. And then you just think of all those people out there, the millions and millions of people out there, and just the reality of what we potentially face is just coming home with, like, it becomes even more of a stark reality. And it's damn scary.
Definitely what our president has shown is some leadership. We needed somebody to take the wheel, and they did just that. I think that the issue is with ministers and people trying to decide what is legal, what's not legal, you know, what are the rules during lockdown. And we've had some confusion. Day one was a ghost town, and I'm really happy to report that not many people were out on the street. But by day three, it was business as usual in all in rich and poor communities. And it seems to have picked up from then. And what has also seemed to have picked up in some areas is police brutality. I can kind of understand that it's very hard in some areas, at least, to police a community, especially in areas where the community far outnumbers the police and the army and the metro services. But I do not condone some of the violence that I've seen. And I do condone some of the good things I've seen. I've seen some of the army members helping people push trolleys. You know, not everyone's using sjambaks on people. Some of the army members at least have deployed a kind of like a high school kind of hazing punishment. And you know, we've seen some members being made to do push-ups and things like that, basically to humiliate them and make sure that they don't, you know, that they don't break the rules again. I applaud them for not using sjambaks, but I also, you know, kind of, if it's kind of uncomfortable, because if you imagine if that was your father or your family member being forced to perform these kind of drill movements, it's quite a thing. It's quite humiliating, actually. So there's still that kind of back and forth between, you know, the police trying to keep the order and a group of people who really are, you know, not really taking it seriously. We get the reports from the health department daily, and it does look like the numbers of infections has dramatically decreased. Whether or not that's because of the lockdown or because perhaps we don't have enough testing facilities, that we will find out. It's just incredible that we've been able to find homeless shelters and food and a huge budget. In days, and it's very concerning, really, that we could have done this a long time ago for the people in need in South Africa, and it's taken a crisis to actually help them. And I hope that after the crisis, those people aren't just put back on the streets. It's also you know, worth a note that a lot of these schools that promised to give away their halls for the time being for the homeless have reneged on that deal. Went past Parktown Boys, which you know, they said that they would open up their hall for the homeless, and kind of immediately did an about turn. And I remember driving past on Monday and just seeing a homeless man just standing outside Parktown Boys, just kind of confused. He'd obviously heard that was a place of refuge for him, and so he just stood. And that's it. That's his life.
South Africa is in store for 2 more weeks of lockdown, and the pinch is definitely being felt across the country. Confirmed cases and related deaths are mounting, but we remain positive that the efforts taken by the government, essential services, and communities will make a difference. We urge everyone to abide by the lockdown rules and regulations. Stay informed and stay safe. For Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown, I am Zama Luthuli.
You are listening to Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown. Boots on the Ground is a short podcast series documenting South Africa's national lockdown as a result of the outbreak of COVID-19. Boots on the Ground is a true piece of mobile journalism. All interviews, voices, and sound effects have been gathered using nothing but smartphones. Boots on the Ground is a production of Multimedia Live, a division of Arena Holdings. Narration done by Samar Lutuli. Audio gathered by Graham Hoskin and Alex Patrick. Sound design and editing by Paige Muller. Production by Multimedia Head Scott Peter Smith. To catch the next episode of Boots on the Ground for free, please subscribe to the podcast on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.